Father, we do thank you and we praise you, sir. We worship you and we set ourselves before you. We open our hearts. We open our minds to receive revelation from heaven. Words that move heaven on the earth. And we thank you. We have ears to hear. We have eyes to see, and we're blessed. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. Father, we pray for all of the people that have been caught up in that horrible act of Satan in Paris and other places in Europe, and all that he's trying to do, all that the devil is the enemy. The devil is the enemy, not people. We don't war with flesh and blood, but we war with principalities and power and rulers of the darkness of this realm and wicked spirits in heavenly places. And thank God we have dominion. Thank God we have authority. Hallelujah. And those demons were pulled down. And we give you praise and honor and thank you. We praise you, sir. We worship you. Oh, and I tell you, I just hear it. I hear it just like a shout in my spirit. Oh, yes. Terrible and horrible things are being manifest. I warned you of that in my word, saith the Lord. I told you that wicked men would wax worse and worse. I told you that the devil in the last days would run amok because he sees his time is near. Hallelujah. I said those things to you. But have you forgotten that I also said, where sin does much abound, grace does much more abound. Hallelujah. Much more. Much more. Much more. We're on the much more side. Glory to God, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God. My. Oh, well, yeah. These things that you're seeing now, particularly in the United States, the things that are taking place that look and are so ungodly and so terrible, particularly to the heart and the mind of righteous people. But don't have any fear. Don't be disturbed. I am watching over the United States. For you see, I have a vested interest in this nation that I don't have in other countries. I established, saith the Lord, the nation of Israel. Because I love them. But the United States of America was established by a people because they love me. And I will never forget it. I will never forget it. I will never forget it. So listen to my voice. Hearken unto me and be quick to pray, slow to criticize, and quick to repent. For if you will do these things and walk with me and listen to me and order your life accordingly, these terrible, horrible things will not touch you. I have angels at their posts. I am working in this nation, and what you are seeing right now are birth pangs to the rebirth of the United States. Going back to its roots, going back to its original assignment, going back to its original commitments to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. Hallelujah. Oh, but I just don't see how that could come to pass. Well, that's because you're short-sighted. That's because you're not looking through my eyes, because you're talking and acting like the prophet that said, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, I am the only one." And I said, "No, no, 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 you're not the only one. I have thousands that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Well, in the United States, I have multiplied millions who have not bowed their knee to darkness. I have multiplied millions that are walking by faith, that are living in the life of faith and the life of goodness, and they are coming alive like never before. These are victorious days. These are times to rejoice. These are times to look up, for your redemption draws nigh, saith the Lord. Great, marvelous, and wonderful things are happening in the realm of the glory. Movings, doings by the forces of light and the forces of power and the kingdom of God, and manifesting in the earth right now are things quickly, moving quickly, drawing quickly to an explosion point. And many, many, more than ever before, will come sweeping into the kingdom of God. Oh, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. Harvest time. Oh, yeah. All the hard work is when the plowing's going on. All the hard work is when you're cultivating the land. Then all the hard work is when you're sowing. And all the hard work is when you're preparing. But I want you to know, joy comes at harvest time. Joy comes at harvest time. And it's here. So rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. And lift up your hand and say, I have faith in the God of my victory. Hallelujah. Woo, glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Praise God. Shake hands with several people and say it again. I have faith in my God of victory. And then you can be seated. God, I receive it. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Let's receive our evening offering. Amen. Give you a chance to raise your income. We will continue in our study and discussion of grace in finances. And so let's look again in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, we also read that from the Amplified Translation, that concerning the grace that was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, arousing in them the desire to give. Now notice verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift. And again, the Amplified Translation said, they begged us. They begged us to allow us to have part of this offering. Now, remember this. This is very important in looking at this and studying this. The Holy Ghost, by the Apostle Paul, is writing this testimony of what happened to him and his team in Macedonia. He's writing this to the church at Corinth. And he's teaching them concerning grace and financial prosperity, and how that functions and how it's linked together. Now, and we discussed this, the Spirit of God, moving by His grace, aroused in them not only the desire to give, but also great joy. Now, here's a people that in a lot of trouble, man. I mean, things are, they're really rough. Deep poverty and a lot of affliction. A lot of things happening to them, bad things. But they're full of joy. Glory to God. Well, see, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the shame and the contradiction of sinners against himself. Amen. Hallelujah. For the joy that was set before him. That was his strength. Now then, in this, we see the will of God being displayed in his word concerning financial prosperity in the life of a believer. Now, let's go down. Verse 7 again. Therefore, as you abound, he's talking about the people there now in Corinth. Therefore, as you abound in everything in faith, everything in utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, or love for the ministry, see to it that you abound in this grace also. Now, the things that he just named there, faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence, love to us, these things are graces. Now they're abounding in that. They understand that. And obvious, they understand that it's the grace of God that has caused them to abound in these things. Because this is the second letter he's written these people, and he has been there. So they have been being taught. Now he's adding grace number 6 for them to abound in. Spend time believing and listening and studying. And that is in verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. And you always have to remind yourself again and again, that Jesus was never poor a day in his life in his earthly ministry. He was not born to poor folks. He was not. Amen. The only reason he was born in a manger is because there wasn't any hotel rooms. Scripture says that. Wasn't because he's broke. Broke people don't have to go anywhere to pay their taxes. Come on. All the poor folks are still back in Nazareth. But the people that had means, people had taxes to pay, had to go to their home place to pay them. Now, you know why that happened? 715 years before, Micah the prophet declared a virgin will have a child in Bethlehem. Now, this demonstrates the dominating power of the Word of the living God. This demonstrates faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. Those words dominated every government, dominated every human being, dominated the thinking of armies and nations until they were all in exactly the right place. And Caesar got a crazy idea to receive taxes by making everybody go home. And she had to go, pregnant or not. Amen. And that baby was born at the exact second that he was supposed to be born. Hallelujah. Now, the same thing will work in your life by faith in God. When you take God's word, you put it in your eyes, you put it in your ears, you put it in your mouth, you put it in your heart, and faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it begins to grow and give substance to things, and it comes out your mouth. It will begin to dominate the glory realm. It will begin to work. Angels are at work, and all of heaven is moving to see to it that your faith product is coming to pass. Yes. Hallelujah. Didn't take much for me to preach myself happy. In fact, I was doing pretty good when I got here. Hallelujah. Woo, glory, glory, glory. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich. Now, Jesus walked in true prosperity. Prosperity is not just money. There's a lot of poor people with money, and they're dangerous. You understand what I'm saying? And it's not money that's the root of all evil, it's the love of it. The love of money is the root of all evil. And there are people that'll kill you over money, and they ain't got a dime. Amen. So that's not the issue here. True prosperity, glory to God, is life seeking first the kingdom of God and living by faith in the laws of God, meeting and securing every life's need. Spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. Money is actually on the bottom of the list. Amen. They went out there, I'm telling you, you got 40,000 or 50,000 people out there in front of you, and they've been there for 2 or 3 days, haven't had anything to eat. Now, we read about this in the Word, right? And they came to him and said, what are we going to do? We've got to feed these people. He said, you feed them.
What?
We feed them? You got to be kidding here. We got a little boy's lunch. Jesus did not feed. Now listen to me. Don't shut me down now before I finish. Jesus actually did not feed that 20 to some estimate as many as 40,000 people in one of those incidents there when he said that. He didn't feed them. He did the praying. He did the blessing. He did the breaking. But he handed it to them and they fed them. The miracle multiplication happened in the hands of the apostles and his staff members. Amen. Now that should be exciting to you. Yeah. See? Doesn't the scripture say, why do you toil and work for perishable things, come and buy without money? Our currency in the kingdom of God is faith. Yeah. Amen. God didn't tell you to pay for it. He told you to believe for it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now you're going to see something here in this final installment of this that you're going to be glad you came tonight. Amen. Now they said, all we have are these little fishes and these little pieces of bread. Now this is what he said. Bring it to me. Oh, yeah. That's step one. Bring it to me. That's so good. Hallelujah. Little is much when Jesus gets his hands on it. Glory to God. Now then, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. So when did he become poor? Poor and poverty. Poverty is not a money issue. Poverty is a spiritual issue. You can throw money at poverty by the billions and people, it doesn't even change anything. That's been proven out right here in the United States since the Lyndon Johnson administration and the war on poverty was launched. And they have spent billions and billions and billions of dollars. And all of the records show that the poor have increased instead of decreased. And it's all the same people. Why? The scripture says that a rich man's wealth is his strong city, but a poor man's poverty is his destruction. He thinks poor. Amen. His soul is not prospering. But prospering in the things of God, I pray that you be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. Take stock of yourself. Make sure that your mental faculty, that your thought life is prospering, that you're not still hanging on to old junky thoughts. Like sucking the last drop out of that toothpaste tube. Put a little water in the shampoo bottle. Or there's at least one cabinet in the kitchen. When you open it up, you got to put all the margarine bowls back in the cabinet. Sweetheart, the depression's been over for a long time. Come on, get out of there. Get all of those little twisties. And bread wrappers. Notice Glory to God. If we had time, we'd go through these scriptures. But you can search them out. The one of God's commandments was, when you harvest your olives, don't go back over the tree the second time. They had long sticks and they'd knock those olives out of the olive tree. Don't go back over it the second time. Leave a little. Leave a little. If you left a sheaf in the field, don't go back and get it. Leave it. Now, back in those days, you would leave that and then open your property up. Anybody that wanted to come in that was in need could go in there and harvest the rest of those olives, get that sheaf out of the field. But this is important. This is not the end. You're gonna have more toothpaste. There's more and better shampoo right around the corner here. Stop hanging on to stuff. If you've got stuff that you haven't worn for the last 3 years, that's a strong indication you ain't gonna wear it in the next three. Come on, bless somebody with it. Glory to God. I mean, get it out of there. Amen. That's when your soul begins to prosper. When you begin to have, when you're motivated by prospering other people all the time. You go into a business. You treat that restaurant like it was yours. You go into a service station. You treat that station like it was yours. Amen. You want to prosper these people. Well, they weren't all that nice to me. Wonder why. Now, let's stop and think about it. What could it be? Well, number one, it could be that they're just that way all the time. But probably not. Number two, wonder what happened to them today. We were on one of our great motorcycle rides one year up in Colorado. Glory and me and Jerry and Carolyn Savelle and Happy and Jeannie Caldwell and Dennis and Vicki Burke and Jesse and Kathy Duplantis. We were on our motorcycles and we were riding through the mountains and having a wonderful time. And on those trips like that, every time we slow down, we preach at one another just as fast as we possibly can. Amen. I mean, and some of the greatest revelation that's ever come into our lives are at times like that. And so we walked into this restaurant, and the waitress really acted like she wished we hadn't come in. And she's just barky, you know. and so, of course, they had to put some tables together because there's a bunch of us, you know, and all that. And so I picked it up in my spirit. I said, "Come on, guys, there's something wrong here." And so we got into prayer over her and for her. And she came back over there and, you know, put her menus down. And so she came the next time then, and I just called her. I said, "Sweetheart, come here." I said, "Something's hurting you." I said, "How can we help you?" I said, "We're a bunch of preachers and we know and love God. And we want to pray with you. We want to help you." She broke down right then. She just unloaded what all had happened to her. And she's overwhelmed. She was absolutely overwhelmed. And she was just about to break. And we loved on her. And we didn't give her a tip. We took up an offering for her. Praise God. And blessed her. And loved her and told her we loved her and held her hands and prayed for her. She got so happy. She got so thrilled. She couldn't stand it. She didn't want us to leave. Always keep that in mind. That may be the reason why you're in that service station that day. So you don't need to be grumpy too. Amen. Hallelujah. Always, always looking to prosper people. When you're doing that, you're walking in grace for prosperity. And your soul is beginning to prosper. And you start, you start hanging on to stuff and being chinchy with stuff and stuff like that. Correct yourself. They say, no, wait a minute. I don't need to be doing this. I'm prosperous here. And you stop and think, I wonder if Donald Trump does that. I wonder if he sucks all of the tube out of his empty to get that last drop of toothpaste. I wonder if he stands there at the gas pump and watches that thing go around and around and around. He flew to London, he and his son, in his Boeing 757. Huge airplane. He and his son flew to London. He had a speaking engagement. Got through there, fueled up, went to Scotland, checked out a golf course over there that he owns, flying around in an airplane that originally seated 300 people. He and his son. Well, I think that's just ridiculous. That just makes me sick. Doesn't take a whole lot to make you sick, does it? What's it to you? It's his money. He can go outside and burn it in a bucket if he wants to. There ain't nothing to you or me. We're not his God and we're not his judge. If you're going to judge him over that, it's going to make it awfully hard for God to get anything to you. Because you set a standard so high. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't do that if I was him. Wonder what you would do with $100 million. You want me to tell you? Something stupid. Like all the rest of us. But my point is, his wealth is his strong city. He doesn't think like a poor man. He's not afraid of losing it. You know why? He knows how to get it. When you live and walk by faith, you're not afraid of losing it because you know how to believe for what you've got the first time. Amen. They come in there and say, we're laying you off. Today's your last day on the job. You put a smile on your face, say, glory be to God. I was believing God when I found this one. Hallelujah. Yeah. Give me a few days off here. Kind of recoup a little bit. Amen. Glory to God. Because you know what? You can't lose your job. You're a soldier in the army of the Lord. You're on assignment in this earth. Glory to God. Your needs are met according to his riches in glory, not by your employer, but by your faith in God. I said that to tell you this. When they were filling that airplane up to fly back to New York City, the gas bill was $85,000. But $85,000 doesn't look big to him. You know why? Because he's got $85 million. So $85,000 don't look like anything. Now, if somebody said, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have $200,000 by a week from tomorrow, or it is over. And you start trembling and shaking. Dear God. Well, that looks like that's too hard for God. How could I ever do that? No, it's not too hard for God. It's just too hard for you. But then you come right down the line, and somebody tells Bill Gates, you're going to have $200,000 by a week from tomorrow. See which account we're going to take at $200,000. Oh, I know a note here. They want it by a week from tomorrow. See, it wasn't too hard for God. It's too hard for you. Amen. Now, you can get to a place where it'd be too hard for Bill Gates. Because he ain't God. Amen. Amen? Amen? You just keep pushing the number. And you can get to the place where he start breaking out in a cold sweat. Amen. Because it'll get place to him where it looked like it's too hard for God. Amen. I'll tell you what the Lord said to me one day, and it shook me. and it just hangs in my spirit a lot. He said, Kenneth, I have a million different ways that I could get $1 billion to you. You can't think of three. And I thought, well, let's see, somebody could give it to me. Yeah, somebody could give it to me. That's about it. That's about as far as I could go. Why? That's the way we should be. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And adds no sorrow or no toiling with it. Now, if you are making a living, if you are making deals, you see where you're going with that? But in the kingdom of God, we don't make a living. We live by faith, and the blessing of the Lord, it maketh the living. Now, about eight of you got it. Somewhere during the night tonight, the rest of you will get it. What? No glory. Yeah. That's a shift over into having a prosperous soul, a prosperous mind, prosperous emotions. You do not allow yourself to be startled or made fearful at any kind of bad news. Amen. All right? Now, I'm going somewhere with that. I'm like Creflo. I'm working on something now. You stay with me here. Praise the Lord. Now, he said, now, this is what we should abound in this grace, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor because he bore the curse of poverty. He was made poor that through his poverty we might be made rich. That means that everything God has belongs to us. We are unlimited in our resources if we'll just learn how to live and function by faith. Amen. There's not anything too big. Whatever God tells you to do, that just authorized you to do it. I don't care how big it looks to you. Amen. He's not looking for somebody that's got enough money. He's looking for somebody that's got a lot of faith. Amen. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Because he's got the money. Oh, God, I'm just not qualified. Don't tell him that. Maybe he doesn't know that yet. Did you ever think about how much time you spent, quote, praying, and all the time you were informing God about how bad things are, as if he didn't know? Instead of talking faith with him? Hallelujah. You remember the woman that made the little prophet's quarters for the prophet? Yes. And then she had the son that God gave her. And then later, that boy died a heat stroke. You remember that? Yes. Man, I'm telling you, she saddled up and she headed to the prophet's house. And every time they asked her, when her husband asked her, why are you going to the prophet? She said, all is well. Yes. She got a dead boy laying upstairs. All is well. She took off and the prophet saw her coming. What's the matter with you? All is well. All is well. That's all she ever said. All is well. Well, the prophet went down and raised that boy from the dead. But she never did come in there and say, my boy dead, my boy dead, my boy. It would have cost her the life of her son. She was talking the problem instead of talking the answer by faith. Now then, so now we come on over since we've found this out. We come into the ninth chapter. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Remember now again, the apostle, by the Holy Spirit, is teaching them from this testimony in Macedonia. That grace is what stirred these people up to give. Grace and joy is what brought these people through that terrible hard time they were in. And the reason grace was there was motivating them to connect with God by faith. For as he wrote to the church at Rome, it is by faith so that it might be by grace. Say grace. There is grace for finances. Hallelujah. Now then, God is able to make all grace. Now back up. He's still talking to the church there at Corinth now. And he's teaching them concerning this matter of bounty. He which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace. We only talked about six. But he's able to make all grace abound. There's something about abounding. Grace is running after you. It's abounding. There's way more than enough of it. Where sin does abound. Grace does much more abound. And he's talking about abounding grace for financial prosperity. Now look at it. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Why? So that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He was talking about them having such a desire to give into that good work, to give and help those other people that were in trouble financially. And grace motivated them to give and motivated them with joy. Amen. And they did it. They gave themselves and then they sowed what they had into that offering. Now he said, this is the result. That you may always having. My. The Babylonian system has taught people that you don't ever always have. You're always trying to get. And the world has taught, you and I both were taught like this. And this is the way the Gentile thinks. Jesus said that the Gentiles seek after, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? But he said, that's what they do. That's what they seek after. That's the only way they got to get in it. Either that you can only add to yourself by working, borrowing, or stealing. I don't suggest. Now, there's nothing wrong with work. Absolutely. You don't work, you don't eat. But you're not working to earn a living. The scripture said in the book of Ephesians, I said this to you last night, and this points it out. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him work with his hands that which is good, so that he may have to give to those that need. Because the giving is what creates the income for him, not the working with his hands. The working with his hands provided the seed. It provided the beginning of his tithe, because he's tithing on what he's earning. But the more he tithes and the more he gives, the more his income through grace and faith begins to come his way. And before long, if he's doing this thing according to the Word of God, hallelujah, and he's got the grace of God on his mind all the time, he begins to prosper, so that his job is very little more than his seed bin, because he's living on his faith. Hallelujah. I've seen it happen. I had it happen to me. Now, we're getting there. Stay with me. That you may abound to every good work. Everything that God comes along with and puts a desire in your heart to be a part of it and to be a part of what they're doing at the church, what's happening in the kingdom of God. I want to be partners to these ministries. I want to help in my church. Glory to God. I tell you, I want to be a part of this thing. Well, I can get to that place where I'm not looking to do what I can do. I'm looking to God to tell me what He wants me to do. And that I come up to that with my faith. That's faith, so that it might be by grace. And you're always having, always having. Now, in the world, we're taught that everything is out there and you have to go out there and get it. Somebody else has it. You started off, it was your mom and daddy that had it. So you had to somehow or another, you had to get it out of them. Sometimes that's hard. Amen. Well, you grow up thinking like that. Then you got to go get a job. Somebody else out there's got it, and I got to go get it. Well, you're thinking like that. And then you bring that over into the church. Well, there's God off out there wherever He is. And I got to go to Him and try to get Him in a notion to get me for me. All that came out of that world system. Because when you got born again, the scripture said you were delivered from the authority of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You're a citizen of heaven. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God, and we're living under kingdom rules now. And you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, or His way of doing things. What are His ways of doing things? Love, faith, grace, praise God. Those are His ways of doing things. You put His word first place. You're living in His kingdom. Then all these things will be added to you. You're no longer having to add them. Oh, dear heart, that's good news. You can go to bed and go to sleep at night over that. I don't have to do this. All I have to do is sleep and believe God. And do whatever He tells me to do. So whatever He tells me to sow. Amen. I'm living by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, we are then, put your hands right here. And see, the spiritual part of you is right in this area, right in here. That's the reason, particularly the King James, is referred to some of them as coming out of your belly. It's out of the core part of you. We are inside out people, not outside in people. Everything that we could possibly need in life as a born again human being is already in here. Hallelujah. We increase by the fruit of our lips. Hallelujah. Our increase comes beginning with our tithing, then with our giving, and we believe it in our heart and we say it with our mouth, and our faith connects with God's grace, and then the angels are released to do their job. Amen. And the scripture said, give, and it'll be given unto you again. Men shall give into your bosom. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. That don't mean you go out and beg them for it. No, you're just doing your job in the kingdom. Now, are you still with me? That's kind of weak. Okay. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower. Now in verse 10, this is talking about Jesus, the high priest of our kingdom. But who's he talking about in verse 9? As it is written, he, that couldn't be Jesus, he has dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Well, there's a little letter out there, Psalms 112, verse 9. Okay, let's go over to Psalm 112. Better fasten your seatbelt. Psalm 112, verse 9, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Well, there's the verse that was quoted, correct? Well, who is he? Well, now you got to go back to the very first verse to find out who it was that dispersed. All right. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man. Ooh, that started out good, didn't it? Blessed. Aha. It's the blessing of the Lord. We're going to find out some things about the blessing of the Lord here, because that's what's coming to play by grace. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. He is eager to God, for God to command him to do something, because he's found out when he does it, the blessing increases. He's gotten over on the delight side. Amen. Not the gripey side. Do I have to do that, Lord? No, I'm going to hell. It'll be all right. Forgive me. His seed shall be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth. Are you listening?
Yes.
You understand what wealth means?
Yes.
More than one tube of toothpaste? Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Here is a man that delights greatly in the commandments of God. And he's got a house. And it's filled with wealth and riches, and his righteousness endures forever. Here's a man that's got a lot of money in a big house, and his righteousness is intact. So I'm hearing godly wealth. It is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Amen. I'm hearing righteous wealth. Amen. It's not the money that's bad. The money follows the character of the possessor. Bad guy with money is bad money. Good guy with money, the money's good. Amen. But if the bad guy's got more money than the good guy, the bad guy's money's going to win. This is the reason you don't ever want to go in business with a bad guy. Don't get unequally yoked. You want to print Bibles, he wants to print pornography. But if he owns 70% of the company, Yeah. It's going to be pornography. So sell out and get somebody else. Jesus makes a good partner. Yes, he does. Now, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. Oh, he's walking in revelation, isn't he? He's gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man shows favor and lendeth. He'll guide his affairs with discretion. The cross-reference says good judgment. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. That's covenant talk. You remember the scripture said, and God remembered Abraham?
Yes.
Well, it wasn't like he got up one morning and said, wonder where he is. I forgot all about Abraham. I hope he's all right. No. He's an everlasting remembrance of him. He has him on his mind all the time.
Amen.
All the time. He had Noah and his sons on his mind all the time. He lined the walls of the throne room with that rainbow. And any direction he looked, he remembered Noah. Hallelujah. Well, guess what? Jesus is sitting at his right hand, ever making intercession for you and for me. You are ever on his mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Bad news doesn't move this man. Remember what the Apostle Paul said? None of these things move me. I got really tickled at Keith Moore. He was telling me, he said, he got under so much pressure one day, he thought, boy, one more thing and I have had it. And he said he came home that afternoon from school and he walked in the front room of the house and just threw his briefcase in the floor. And just flopped down on the floor and shouted, none of these things move me. And he said it was amazing how quick it broke the pressure of that. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved only by what I believe. And I believe the word of the living God. He's not afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. He's in the business of giving. He's made it his life. If you study this out and go back into records and so forth, as far as you can tell, this man was a banker. Amen. And he's in the business of helping people. He's not in the banking business. He's in the people business. And he's dispersing. And he is so busy giving. He is so busy being delighted when God gives him an assignment, particularly if it's more than he can do. Because if it's more than he can do, then God's going to have to step in and do it, which is going to bring him up to another level. Amen. And he delights greatly. He's so busy doing that, bad news doesn't even, the thing goes in one ear and out the other. Glory to God. And he sees his desire on his enemies. Amen. Come out and say amen.
Amen.
Can you see it? Can you see what the Apostle Paul was telling these people? He was referring to this man.
Amen.
And his teaching with them. He was referring to this man. He fully knew that they knew the 112th Psalm.
Yes.
Or he would not have just referred to it.
Amen.
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 He brought it to their remembrance. Oh, yeah, the rich guy with the big house full of wealth and riches that's not as scared of anybody.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, we know that guy. We know that. That's who we're supposed to be. Yeah.
Amen.
That's who you're supposed to be. Glory to God. You're supposed to be prospering. You're supposed to be growing. You're supposed to be getting bigger than the problem. Hallelujah. It's time to shout amen. Amen right there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. I said thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we pray over this offering tonight. We are delighted with your word. We are delighted with your grace. And we praise you and we thank you and bless you in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you, sir, to reveal to your people, each one of us, what you would have us do in this offering tonight. And we praise you and bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.